On Acoustic Tuesday, episode 72, travel guitars that'll give you a wedgie, the good kind, if there is such a thing, a folk duo that produces mind-melting harmony, and I'm going to teach you an exercise that, if you can do it, it's going to take your flat picking into the stratosphere. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode 72. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. But before we do so, I need to introduce you to the guitar geek weather forecaster, Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr., the first professional guitar geek meteorologist. Noah, good morning to you.
Tony, hello, hello, hello. Welcome.
Quite the introduction today.
Yes.
Well, something you're trying for the new year, or what's
It's still going. Can you hold on a moment?
They must really love you. They love you.
And there we go. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday. Yes, that was That was a lot of fun.
Well, this is filmed in front of a live studio audience, much like Full House was back in the 90s.
Right.
Not really. Sorry. I just thought that was fitting. Noah, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, Tony.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
How are you?
I'm super glad to hear. I'm good. You look, I like this hair. I like that you're like about 2 weeks away from the initial haircut, so it's filling out a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
It's really taking shape.
Yeah. Well, I'm growing up, and so I figure, you know, I go through those cycles, you know,
yeah.
And it feels like it's that time again where I should have a big boy haircut. You know?
I wonder what that makes my haircut. Because I haven't gotten a haircut in a really long time.
I'm glad you said that, because now we're going to find out in the comments. And so...
Because if you're getting big boy haircuts, what is that? Does that make me just a complete child? It might very well make me a complete child. I mean, Whitney would probably attest to the fact that I sometimes act like a complete child.
Mm.
But... I can act like a child. I can act like an enthusiastic guitar geek child right now.
Yes.
In fact, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
A very well-spoken, educated guitar geek child. I'm going to kick things off because I want to share with you all an exercise that I think, regardless of where you're at in your flat-picking journey, whether you've been flat-picking for a while and you just need something to kind of boost your confidence in it, or... if you just started flat picking, this exercise that I'm going to show you is really going to help you bolster confidence in your flat pick, accuracy, and even speed in the long run. And also for your fretting hand, it's going to give you accuracy, finger independence, and overall a nimbleness with your fretting hand that I think you'll benefit from greatly when it comes to playing songs, getting scales under your fingers, getting songs under your fingers. Doing this exercise will help you do that in a much faster way. Now, I call this exercise... Well, I was going to call it the inside out, outside in exercise, but that's just kind of a lame name. So I'm going to call it the annihilator, because I imagine that's how the brain feels, as if it's being annihilated during this exercise when you're first learning it. So here's the exercise. I'm going to show it to you in a couple stages, and then at the end, I'll tell you where to find the full version of the exercise so you can do it and incorporate it into your own playing. And really, this exercise, the whole impetus for developing this exercise was to get the picking hand communicating with the fretting hand, because that's one of the things that we really need as guitar players. We need that link between our picking hand and our fretting hand. So I'm gonna play the exercise for you first. I'm just gonna loop it on the high two strings, and then I'll describe what's actually happening. So it's gonna sound a bit like a horror movie, but don't worry, there's an explanation coming. Pretty attractive sounding, right? Anyways, so this again is called the annihilator exercise, and what we're doing is we're executing a pattern, a repeated pattern, to get the fretting hand awake and get it communicating with the picking hand. So, for the pattern, I'm going to go through it in two stages, okay, because there's kind of two parts to it. The first part, as far as the picking hand goes, we're going to be picking the outside of the B string on a downstroke and the outside of the high E string on an upstroke. So to kind of prep your picking hand for this, you can go down on the B, up on the E, down on the B, up on the E. Just kind of do that back and forth. Okay, and then the fretting hand pattern goes like this. Index finger, first fret of the B. Middle finger, second fret of the high E. Ring finger, third fret of the B. Pinky finger, fourth fret of the high E. Okay, so that's the first part of the sequence. Maintaining alternate picking throughout. The second part of the sequence, we're actually just gonna reverse it. So what does that mean? Well, on the picking hand, it means that we're gonna be going down on the high E, the inside of the high E, and up on the inside of the B. Okay, so your pick can now be in between the E and the B string instead of on the outsides of the B and the E string. And that's gonna sound like this if you kinda wanna warm up your picking hand. So the second part of the sequence in terms of the fretting hand is your index finger is gonna fret the first fret of the high E, downstroke, second fret of the B, upstroke with your middle finger, third fret of the high E with your ring finger, and pinky finger, fourth fret of the B. Okay, so in its entirety, I'm gonna actually name the pick direction as I do this. Starting from the top, it's gonna go down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up. Okay, so the best way to do is to get this pattern under your fingers, okay? Go as slow as you can, just making sure that you're fretting the right notes and you're picking the right pick. You're picking the right direction with your picking hand. Once you have that, I want you to just loop it in this place, literally one time after another, just to get the pattern dialed in. And then I want you to move it around the fretboard. Now, I don't have time on the show to show you the entire exercise, but what I want to do is show you it at acousticlife.tv/AT72. There, you can go there, acousticlife.tv/AT72. I go through the exercise much slower, and I use a metronome during the looping phase and during the phase where I tell you to move it around the fretboard. So please go to acousticlife.tv/AT72 to get the full version of that exercise. Get the metronome version so you can actually incorporate it into your playing. Now, I hope you totally dug this exercise, and I hope you dig the full version as well. And if you had fun with this, I know that you're gonna have fun with Tony's Acoustic Challenge. And if you don't know anything about Tony's Acoustic Challenge, please go to tonysacousticchallenge.com to learn more about it and see how it can take your playing to the next level. And I'll tell you this, it's an acoustic guitar program like you've never seen before. It's a ton of fun, and the program's whole basis is simplicity, fun, and connection with other guitar geeks. So if that sounds fun to you, please check it out at tonysacousticchallenge.com and request your invite today. I know that exercise, the more you do it, the easier it will get and the more it will impact your playing. So make sure to follow through on that as well. All right, moving on. Next order of business is, of course, Guitar Geek Trivia. Here is your Guitar Geek Trivia question. Skip James was a professional bluesman from the year 1924 onward until his death in 1969. What was Skip's first name at birth? Was it A, Stephen, B, Nehemiah, C, Elijah, or D, Henry? Go ahead and ponder that. And at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, moving right along, I asked Noah, what's going on with the mail? And I think the mailman is just out there spinning on the ice somewhere because there's been no deliveries.
How would I know what is going on with the mail?
Well, sometimes you check the mailbox. Maybe you haven't lately because you're just frustrated. See, I was trying to blame it on the mailman. Maybe there is a bunch of mail sitting in the mailbox.
Didn't you check it?
I did check it. There's nothing in there.
Well, it is the holidays.
Yeah.
Or the new year. And is it? I don't even know if it's back to normal yet.
It's not.
Okay.
It's not. The dust is still settling. So it's okay. So okay. Nothing in the mailbag today, but that's okay. We could just move right along to what I'm listening to this week. And this week, the band, the duo that I want you to know about actually came from a YouTube commenter. And I was going through YouTube comments, and I pulled the band name, and I immediately went into a black hole of listening. And I completely forgot who recommended it, and I didn't even write it down, and I'm really sorry about that. But I'm very thankful to whomever recommended Red Tail Ring. This is a folk duo out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. And the duo is comprised of, I'm going to try and get these names right, so I'm sorry if I butcher them, Laurel Primo, and Michael Beauchamp. I think it's Beauchamp. It's either Beauchamp or Beauchamp. But I want to say it's Beauchamp. And I'm going to go with Beauchamp because of my newfound French heritage.
Thank you. I was just going to say.
Yeah.
And now you're an expert. And you should even try it with like the French flair.
Yeah. Beauchamp.
There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
Michael Beauchamp. Antoine would help me out in this scenario, I'm sure. Yeah. But anyways, these two make gorgeous music together. The harmonies are very tight and just almost in a haunting fashion. And the instrumentation is extremely diverse. We're talking old-time banjo, fiddle, mandolin, guitar. Am I forgetting anything? I think that's everything. But there's a lot of strings going on between just these two. They are wizards of the stringed instruments. And instead of me trying to come up with more descriptives and adjectives to figure out how to describe these guys, maybe let's just listen to a song by them. The song's called Fall Away Blues. It's one of my favorites, and Noah is hopping on the train as well. So let's have a listen.
If I should lose most everything, tell you what I would do.
So as you can tell, Michael and Laurel just kind of have this amazing synergy when they play together. And I've been listening to their album Fall Away Blues pretty much all week. Definitely when I went down the black hole, when I first initially discovered them through the YouTube comments, it was kind of like this never ending, oh my God, do these guys continue to get better? Every song I found beat the last one. So I really dig them, and I want to encourage you to check out their music. Let me just say this. There's a ton of albums that they are a part of, whether they were collaborations or a kind of compilations as well. There's a whole slew of them, but I selected a couple that I think that you'll really enjoy, and I think that best exemplifies what they do musically. The first one is Fall Away Blues. That was released in 2016. That's their most recent release. Then we have released in 2013, The Heart's Swift Foot. And then there were two albums released in 2011. I want to say they were part of a series, Middle West Chant and then Mountain Shout. Both the covers of those I think are really cool, kind of folk arty, and really matches the vibe of the music as well. And then their initial EP, August Roads, which was released in 2010. Now, to learn more about Red Tail Ring, please go to acousticlife.tv/AT72, and you'll be able to learn more about their music, where they're playing, of course, buy their albums if you want to, and there's also bonus performance footage on there, some songs that I really dug that we'll make a nice post. And again, that's at acousticlife.tv/AT72. All right, Noah, I'm going to kick it over to you. I heard that there was a chance of small winds coming in from the Western Front. Can you verify this with your newfound meteorological knowledge?
Well, yes, I can. The weather angle is surprising. Wasn't expecting that. But I see the tie-in that you did from the beginning of the show.
See what I did?
In fact, we have small winds coming in from every direction.
Oh, wow.
And so without further ado, let's jump into small winds.
I dig it.
Now, Tony, I know you wouldn't necessarily think this, but every time I hear that phrase of like, there's a chance of, because I have kids, and those who do have kids or grandkids out there and watch movies with them, every time I can't help but think of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Every single time. Just every single time. I don't even think of weather anymore. I just think of that.
That's awesome.
All right. So, Tony, I got three small wins for you today from Acoustic Tuesday viewers from past recent episodes. First one comes from James M. He says, small win. Yesterday, I got a 1976 Ibanez 950 from my sister.
Awesome.
When I saw the ding on the top, it came to me that it was the very guitar I used to own. The ding was from me dropping my harmonica on it. It was my first electrified acoustic. It has a, excuse the spelling here, but a Barkus Berry pickup. Does that sound?
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, that was kind of one of the first waves of acoustic pickups.
He says, old tech.
Yeah.
And then he says, the memories keep coming back. It's been over 40 years since I've seen this guitar.
That is so rad. That's like a cool full circle moment.
Yeah.
I love that. So awesome. Back to its original owner.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome.
The next one comes from Brian S. He says, small win. Last week, I had to fly home from New York on an early morning flight. Listened to 2 downloaded AT podcast episodes, AT 68 and 69, and time just flew by.
That's awesome. Thanks for listening. That's so cool.
And wouldn't you know it, I thought I had 3, and then I ended up copying over the same one.
You did, huh?
So I have 2. So I'm I'm gonna find another one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I have to share another one.
I want you to share another
and
one.
And I'm gonna kick it over to you.
Okay.
To share
a
small win.
So I have a small win, and this is really I have two. The first one is I've just really been enjoying playing a lot lately. And I know that seems, it's kind of an odd phrase to make, but I feel extremely happy every time I sit down with the guitar and every time I get done playing. I feel like I'm progressing a lot, and I'm really grateful for that. So I wanted to share that as a small win. I know that seems odd, but it's just one of those realizations that struck me. I was like, man, I'm just having a hell of a lot of fun. So that's a small win. The second one is a combined small win with my 5th grade teacher. Okay, let me explain. So my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Eifert, one of my favorite teachers of all time. There's actually quite a few teachers that made an impact on me, but she's definitely one of them. I went to Campanelli Grade School in Schaumburg, Illinois, home of the Cougars, the Campanelli Cougars. She was my 5th grade teacher, and I recently got a Facebook message from her. And she said, in preparation for retirement, I've been going through some photo albums. And so first of all, congratulations on your upcoming retirement. It's pretty amazing. And second, she found this photo. Now, let me set this up for you. We did this thing in my 5th grade class called Frontier Days. Now, at the time, my dad was big into reenactments, like mountain man, fur trapper reenactments. So we were the only house on the block with a teepee in the backyard, a full-size teepee. In suburban Chicago, which was a spectacle. It was really a spectacle. It was never hard for people to find my house because it was the one with the teepee poking out of the backyard. Anyways, so we had all the garb at home, and I was really into it as well. And during Frontier Days, I thought to really just, I wanted to raise the bar. I wanted to break the bar. So I showed up to Frontier Days looking like this. So this, you're looking at Tony in 5th grade, in his full-blown fur trapper outfit.
French?
Well, yeah, so tying into my newfound French and German heritage, I would like to say that this is a French fur trapper outfit. See, I already knew my roots before I knew my roots. So that was a small win to kind of share this cool moment with a teacher that made a huge impact on me. She's celebrating her retirement. The picture was dug up, and I was like, man, everybody's got to see this. This is kind of funny. So that was the small win I wanted to share, the 2 small wins.
How about that you went to 5th grade Frontier Day
With a tomahawk?
With an actual tomahawk. How about that?
Well, there's two things that probably I shouldn't have been let into school with. First of all, it was a tomahawk, but it was a peace pipe tomahawk. So it was not only a weapon, but it was also a device to smoke out of. Different times. Different times.
That's pretty, like, ingenious. Like, that's in tribal ingenuity. Okay. So, okay, I got it, and we're back. So here's the third small win that I thought I originally had, and this one comes from Josh F., and he says, small win, it's actually a big win for me, just acquired a 1973 Martin D35 as of about 30 minutes ago from the timing of his post. It really rounded off Acoustic Tuesday.
That's awesome. Congratulations on the new guitar. Stellar.
Yeah, and there's our small wins for today.
Well, thanks for doing the extra dinging, Noah.
You're welcome.
We appreciate it. We love celebrating those small wins. They're so important to all of our guitar journeys, no matter where you're at. Small wins cultivate positive momentum, which we all need. We all need that to keep going. It pulls us through the difficult times when we feel like we might be in a rut. It pulls us through those times where man, am I really getting any better? When you look back and you think, man, I have small wins to celebrate. So heck yeah, you are getting better. So the small wins are super important, and we want you to share yours. Please do so in the comments below. Put hashtag small win, and please describe your small win. It could be something as small as changing your strings or trying out a new set of strings, to something as big as playing your first open mic, getting a guitar and finding out that it was yours 40 years ago. Any of that. That's all a qualification for a small win. So please do share those in the comments below. Now, moving right along, I want to tell you all about a music store that I think is a hidden gem. Now, some of you may know about this store, some of you may not, but hopefully after this episode, we'll all be on the same page at how awesome of a store this is. And this is Bernunzio's Uptown Music, and I believe it's in upstate New York. I was supposed to get an exact town before I sat down in this chair to do the show, and I completely forgot. But it looks like Noah might be on it right now, looking it up. So, Bernunzio Uptown Music, owned by John Bernunzio. And the way that I first came into contact with the store was when I moved out to Montana in 2008. Go ahead, Noah.
Rochester.
Rochester, New York. Thank you. When I moved out to Montana in 2008, I was working for Weber Mandolins when they were based in Logan, Montana. And I was doing sales. And Bernunzio was a Weber dealer. John was. So I would call John on the phone and we'd talk about mandolins. But then very quickly, the conversation would shift from mandolins. Now, I wasn't a very good salesman. I'll just own that right now. The conversation would shift from mandolins to what he had in stock, what guitars were exciting him, what banjos were exciting him. Basically, it turned into us just talking about gear. And John is just a wealth of information. His specialty is old-time banjos. If you look on their website, they have an entire page with the coolest banjos. I'm talking new banjos, old banjos, vintage banjos, no-name banjos, banjos from the 1800s. They're all there. But it's not just banjos. They have an incredible array of vintage instruments. So we're talking guitars, steel guitars, resonator instruments, mandolins, you name it, they've got it. And they do a great job of curating just a fantastic, beautiful collection of instruments that I would say are really extremely rare. And one of the things that I want you to check out is the YouTube page. But before you do that, let's actually look at one of the reviews. I pulled a review of a 1942 Gibson J35 that they have since sold, but if they did have it in stock, I might be considering it. Let's just put it that way. So let's have a look at that review real quick. Pretty awesome sounding instrument and a great player, and that's just a small sample of one of their reviews. If you go to their YouTube channel, you can spend hours upon hours, quite possibly days, even to the weeks and months, looking at reviews of instruments that you may possibly never see anywhere else. I mean, we're talking Dyer harp guitars, we're talking old Lyon and Healy parlor guitars, we're talking old time, no name, like minstrel style banjos, gourd banjos, old school mandolins. I mean, it's all there, and they have quite the cast of players playing the instruments. So I want to encourage you to check out their shop. And if you're checking out vintage instruments and you're thinking, Chicago Music Exchange, they're awesome. Gruen's, of course, awesome. Carter's Vintage, awesome. There's so many elderly. I mean, there's a ton out there. But I want to throw Bernunzio's Uptown Music your way because I think it needs to be in that list of stores that you check out frequently. One of the things I like to do is to visit their website and check out the new arrivals because they just got such cool stuff coming in, and usually there's a story with it, and I think they do a good job of sharing that information. So again, Bernunzio's Uptown Music, make sure to check them out. And tell John, Tony, and Acoustic Life, we say hi. All right, moving along, Noah and I are dying to know what you think of the show so far, so please in the comments below let us know, and most importantly, please tell us where you're tuning in from. It's so cool to see how vast of an expanse of guitar geeks are out there. So please, when you leave a comment, let us know where you're tuning in from. It's always cool to find out that we are actually uniting on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. guitar geeks from across the entire globe. It's pretty darn cool. And while you're at it, as you're leaving that comment, think to yourself, have I subscribed to the Acoustic Life channel? And if you haven't, please do so. It's really easy on YouTube. Just click that red subscribe button and don't forget to hit that little gray bell. That'll make sure you get a notification of each and every new video that does get released. Now, speaking of comments, Noah, in between studying for his meteorological exam, has been filtering through comments and he's pulled some choice words from our very own. So, Noah, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Sure have.
I want to get you one of the pointers and one of those green screens where we can flash up maps like a weather guy.
Yeah. I would just want to do like the bloopers.
Yeah,
you know, where like you throw something at me and it like punches a hole in the green screen, or I go to use the clicker and it's like, you know, it's your picture of you being the fur trapper behind me, and that kind of thing. Yes, I always look forward to, I look forward to all this and sharing the small wins and sharing the comments and giving shout outs to Acoustic Tuesday viewers who have left comments, and the more the merrier.
Absolutely.
So please, if you haven't left a comment before, please do so. And whether you do or not, read through the comments. They're always either really encouraging or really beneficial. We always get a kick out of just reading them and always feel good after doing so.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so here we go. Here's comments and shout outs. First goes to Thomas C., who says, "Hi guys, welcome from Scotland. Great show. And enjoy the Port Charlotte, Noah. It's in your genes. Cheers." I really have to say it again. I love how we really started something with this, you know, the DNA ancestry.
Yeah, the ancestry, so, Scotch and bourbon thing.
Yeah.
I think that might also contribute to my loving of bourbon, which isn't really a French thing, but I mean, I like wine too.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's come back to that.
Okay.
All right, next shout out goes to Richard G. He says, "Hi, Rick in San Francisco again. I started playing about 55 years ago in high school. I started like most of us do, learning some chords and basic strumming. I then went straight to finger picking. Flat picking is my particular guitar mountain to climb, but for those who struggle with finger picking, let me offer a poetic encouragement, I think, from William Blake.
Cool.
William Blake. Quote, man's reach must exceed his grasp. Else, what is heaven for?" End quote. Keep climbing that mountain, and it will come.
Awesome. That's great words of encouragement. I love that.
Next shout-out goes to Peter W. He says, "Love the video montage." Right? So obviously that was from the...
Is that 68?
Maybe, yeah.
When we did the big playing montage?
Yes. It was the Auld Lang Syne, right?
Yeah.
He said, "Love the video montage. Comforts me to see all the old guys like me picking away. Just bought an Ibanez AV-S6 DTS.
Cool.
As I'm temporarily in a small apartment and its soft picking voice is just perfect to practice all day long. I'm retired. Oh, and Emily Barnes just takes my breath away. Lovely."
Oh, glad. I'm glad. That's awesome. We featured Emily in 70? No, we featured Emily in episode 69. She's a Colorado singer-songwriter. Make sure to check her out. She's really, really talented. Extremely talented.
All right, Tony, and it's in the back of my mind. I'm like wondering, like, how like theatrical should I get with like comparing this to the reading the weather and the sweeping arms kind of thing. I'll control myself. I'll refrain myself. Next shout out goes to Keith B. who says, "Hello, guitar geekdom from Columbia, South Carolina area. I found that AT69 was very informing and entertaining. I hope that Journey makes a lefty. Thanks for the great work. Oh, keep it up."
I believe they do. I do believe they do. In fact, there's more information on them coming up here shortly.
Okay.
But Noah, back to you.
Yes, back to you. And our last shout out goes to Robert J., who says, "Greetings from Florida. Acoustic Life is my favorite YouTube destination."
Oh, man, thanks. Thanks for watching. Thank all of you for watching.
And there's our comments and shout-outs for today, Tony.
Fantastic, Noah. Thanks for sharing those. Do you happen to have any Guitar Geek wins?
Oh, yep. See, I always stop at the comments and then I'm curious if you are going to bring up the Guitar Geeks when.
Well, I was going to go right into telling them to share the show, but I can always tell them to share the show now, real quickly, and then tell them to share the show when you're done here.
Well, the shot's already back on me.
Well, there you
go. So let me just do that. All right.
Fine, weatherman, go ahead.
Okay, so I got two for you today. First one comes from normal Acoustic Tuesday, regular Acoustic Tuesday viewer and contributor in comments, Kavayoth. You know you're a guitar geek when you can't change every string on every instrument you own in a single day.
I hear that. I definitely hear that.
Yeah. And the next one comes from another regular Acoustic Tuesday viewer and contributor, Enrico F. says, you know you're a guitar geek when, and you are surrounded by guitar geeks, you are going to visit the in-laws for Christmas, traveling by car, and your future brother-in-law asks you to bring a guitar for him too, as he's flying, and your reply is, I was bringing two guitars anyway.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I remember Enrico's previous comments. I believe he has guitar arsenals in two different locations. He's one of our European watchers, correct? I want to say Italy?
Maybe.
Or Spain?
Maybe. I don't want to confirm or deny that.
Okay, okay. We'll just say European.
At least his ancestry is.
But I know he's got guitar arsenals, like, all. He's got little caches of instruments all across the country. So that's pretty awesome. That's very cool. It just made me think of traveling with a guitar. And I kind of have a mild, you know, you're a guitar geek, Gwen.
Okay.
We'll call it maybe a missed guitar opportunity. So, guys, just maybe 3 years ago, Whitney and I and her family went to Laramie, Wyoming, of all places, to see Sam Beam of Iron and Wine and Gregory Allen Isakoff. They were playing a show together, both doing solo performances. It was way cool. It was easily in the top five shows I've ever seen in my life, just to see both of these extremely talented singer-songwriters on stage alone, without the band, and just them sharing songs and being almost kind of informal in a way. It was really cool. But anyways, I had contacted Sam's management prior to the show because I was trying to get an interview with Sam, just kind of about his technique and approach to songwriting and things like that. Things didn't work out because of travel and whatnot. No big deal. But his manager was extremely nice. And he said, hey, I'm just going to make sure that you guys are taken care of for the show. So bring family and all that stuff. And so that was really, really incredible. And I'm thankful to this day for that moment. But we get to Laramie. We're in the hotel room. And I get this call, I believe it was from a San Francisco number, and usually I don't answer numbers that I don't see, like, names attached to on my cell phone, but I just was feeling like, you know, the stars were aligned or whatever, so I picked up the phone, and it was Sam's manager. And he said, Sam's guitar got damaged in the flight. Do you happen to have a guitar that Sam can borrow? And wouldn't you know, so Whitney's parents live in Sheridan, Wyoming. Now, I always travel with a guitar when we go down there because her dad plays, her brother plays. Like, it's just a fun family thing. And I had my Martin OM-28 Marquee, had a K&K pickup, was ready to go. Wouldn't you know that I actually left it in Sheridan because I was like, I don't think we're going to be staying long enough for me to play. So I didn't bring it to Laramie. And that was my missed guitar opportunity. It was kind of a bummer because Sam is one of my heroes. He's one of my songwriting heroes, vocal heroes. I feel like he's prolific and... That's my story.
I gotta say, I'm surprised you didn't say yes and then hop in the car, go get it, and then zoom back.
If the weather hadn't have been atrocious, I would have.
Well, in that case, I'm surprised you didn't hop down to the local music shop in Laramie and say yes, buy one, and then pass on.
I was really bummed. But nonetheless, that's you're a guitar geek, Gwen. You always travel with the guitar, but that one time you don't. Could have been a really cool opportunity.
Yep.
I guess if I could condense it and loop it back around.
Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
Thanks for letting me do that. All right. This is my cue to let you know to please share the show. For all the guitar geeks that we unite here every Tuesday, I want to double that this year in 2019. So please share this show with your guitar geek friends. Maybe it's somebody you jam with, your local music store, your guitar teacher, your friend, your neighbor, your aunt, your uncle, your son's friend, whatever the case may be, your daughter's friend, I don't know, whoever plays guitar, whoever's a guitar geek, please share the show with them. Send them your favorite episode on YouTube. Send them to acousticlife.tv. Encourage them to tune in because I just love that we can gather guitar geeks every Tuesday. We can learn stuff, laugh, find out about cool gear, and just enjoy our guitar geekdom. Wave our guitar geek flag, as it were. So please, share the show with your guitar geek friends. Now, moving on to our last item. A couple episodes ago in Acoustic Tuesday, I believe it was 68, I featured the Journey Overhead, the first class overhead. It was a collapsible travel guitar made by Journey Instruments that they were actually doing a Kickstarter for. They were currently active in their Kickstarter project, which I believe had a goal of right around $15,000. We featured them on the show, and I just checked their Kickstarter just to make sure that I had the numbers correct, and they actually ended up reaching $29,197. So kudos to all of you guitar geeks that contributed to that project, and hopefully scored some really cool collapsible travel guitars. Quick recap on that. I actually traveled with that Journey First Class overhead guitar, and I had a great experience traveling with it. It fit in the bag well. It fit in the overhead bin well. I had to flip it sideways just because the plane was kind of busy, but it fit in there, no problems. I went right through all the security gates, no issues at all. Somebody had asked about the tuning in the comments. Yeah, when you take the neck off and then reassemble it, you have to do some subtle tuning tweaks, but nothing crazy. One of the things I did notice with the bag, though, is I completely... This is my fault. I overloaded it with heavy stuff in the front so it wouldn't stand up straight. That's my fault. So I just wanted to share that with you all. But I'm not here to talk about the first class overhead guitar. I'm actually here to talk about a different guitar from Journey Instruments. They were so kind. They sent us two guitars from their Road Trip series. Now, the Road Trip series are smaller, fixed neck travel guitars. Okay, so these aren't collapsible guitars, but they are very travel friendly. Think small car, think airplane carry-on kind of a thing. Now, I didn't travel with one of these guitars, so I don't know how it looks going through security or going through the gate. But I can say that these guitars, their overall length is 36 inches. And in that 36 inch package, they've added the 24 and a half inch scale length. So that's pretty awesome to have that full size feel in a guitar that's kind of small. Under the hood, there is a forward shifted scallops X bracing, which makes a huge difference in tone. And they have quite a variety of options. If you go to their website and check out the Road Trip series, there's quite a few options. The two that they sent, the first one is their all solid, rather I should say solid top and solid back Sapele guitar. The sides are actually layered. They're a laminate side, but the top is solid Sapele, as is the back. Comes with a pickup, again, 24 and a half inch scale, 1¾ inch nut width, extremely convenient and comfortable to play. I think it sounds awesome. I mean, for such a small package, it's a lot of sound coming out of this guitar. So that's the mahogany one. They also sent in the solid spruce top and Sapele back inside. Solid spruce top, solid Sapele back, laminate side again. Also with the pickup, 1¾ inch nut width, 24 and a half inch scale. And check this out. It has that Manzer wedge design. So it's super, super comfortable. That's what I was talking about, that wedgie in the beginning of the show. So Linda Manzer, Canadian luthier, developed this design that really eases tension on the shoulder because it's thinner on the playing end and thicker on the lower end of the lower bout. So super, super comfortable to hold. And since it is a travel guitar, they really put a lot of thought into the case. Case is super durable. It's got a nice hard kind of a wear-resistant nylon on the outside, super padded and comfy on the inside. It's got these stretchable pockets where you can throw in gear, cables, mic stands, music stands if you want to. It even has daisy chains on the side, as well as those kind of quick lock clips, so you can clip in a backpack or whatever you want to bring along to the gig. And just wanted to feature those because I think for those two guitars both go for $489. It's quite a package for $489. And I think it's a great sounding guitar. A lot of the questions I get are like, Tony, what do you recommend? You know, Taylor GS Minis are awesome. Martin Dreadnought Juniors are awesome. And now we got these Journey Road Trip Series guitars are awesome. Well, I think they all have their certain niches that they fit into. I've been a longtime champion of both the Dreadnought Junior and the Taylor GS Mini, but I will gladly put the Journey Instruments Road Trip Series up there with them. I think they offer great tone. I think they're very comfortable. That wedge design is extremely comfortable for any of you that may have shoulder pain or don't love reaching around a guitar. And I think also the case that is included, I think, is very worthy of mention because I think a lot of thought went into these guitars, and I'm pretty pleased with them. So those are the Journey Instruments Road Trip Series. Go to check those out at their website. Of course, you can get there through acousticlife.tv/AT72. Learn all you can about them. And as I mentioned, those two guitars are $489 off the website, and that's for a solid top, solid back, the case, the whole deal. So make sure to check those out. I think you'll be pretty pleased with them, and I know I sure was. I was very surprised. I always go into certain guitars with a bit of skepticism, especially because I love the GS Mini and I love the Martin Dreadnought Jr. But these, I think, are carving out their own way, and I'm pretty pleased with the performance of them. So again, check those out. Those are Journey Instruments Road Trip Series travel guitars, and there's quite a few of them on there, so make sure to hit their website. Again, find that through acousticlife.tv /AT72. All right, Noah, the storm has passed. See what I did? I'm really, the weather theme is running strong today.
I like storms, so I had a good time.
Yeah, the Guitar Geek storm has passed. We've weathered it together, but there is one more important piece of business that we have to discuss. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, Guitar Geek Trivia. You're probably wondering what the hell the answer is, but as a quick reminder, here was your Guitar Geek Trivia question. Skip James was a professional bluesman from the year 1924 onward until his death in 1969. What was Skip's first name at birth? Was it A, Stephen, B, Nehemiah, C, Elijah, or D, Henry? Well, if you answered B, Nehemiah, you're absolutely correct. Nehemiah Skip James was born in 1902 and raised in Bentonia, Mississippi. He learned guitar in his late teens from a local player named Henry Stuckey and began piano soon afterward under the tutelage of Will Crabtree. A professional blues musician from 1924 onward, James recorded 17 sides for Paramount Records in 1931 and entered the clergy in the same year. His I'm So Glad became a hit for the band Cream shortly before his death in 1969. And I had never, prior to doing research for this question, I had never realized that Cream's I'm So Glad was actually Skip James's song. I had no clue. And if you're wondering where this information came from, it actually came from this book. the R. Crumb designed trading cards in a book format, which I featured a couple shows ago, and I've been getting continued use out of this book for our trivia questions. So there you have it. Now the storm's officially passed. We're enjoying sunny skies. The birds are chirping. The leaves are fluttering in the breeze. There's no leaves on the trees. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I was just thinking.
It's just ice and snow right now.
It's winter, Tony.
Well, the birds can still chirp. Well, anyways, I want to thank you all for joining us for Acoustic Tuesday episode 72. We certainly appreciate it. We have fun, and we appreciate you sharing your time with us. And since it's 2019, and I've developed forecasting powers as well, future-telling powers, whatever, psychic powers, let's take a sneak peek into next week and see what's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to tell you about a binge-watch-worthy TV series, a guitar that can restore your faith in getting a ton of bang for your buck, and an acoustic artist who calls Jacksonville, Florida, home. So that will happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday. I want to thank you again for joining us and enjoying the episode today on Acoustic Tuesday. Happy Acoustic Tuesday to you. Make sure to catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on YouTube. And of course, for your acoustic guitar fix in between Tuesdays, please visit acousticlife.tv. You can do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured on Acoustic Tuesday. There's bonus footage, there's extra pictures, there's extra write-ups, there's even buy links. And if you choose to purchase something through one of those buy links at acousticlife.tv, remember those are Amazon referral links. We get a percentage of that sale, and then we pass that percentage directly on to Guitars for Vets as a donation on behalf of all the guitar geeks that watch Acoustic Tuesday. So, with that, I've said Tuesday about 75 times in the span of a minute. I'm going to call it a day. Thanks so much for watching. We wish you the best week. We'll catch you next Tuesday on Acoustic Tuesday. And remember, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers to you guys. Take care.